Welcome to the Awaken the Awesome podcast with your host, Olivier D. This is Awaken the Awesome, a podcast bringing a down-to-earth approach to personal growth. On this show, we're helping individuals just like you learn about tapping into their incredible potential through insightful interviews and inspiring lessons. Our mission is to encourage you to always keep pushing towards achieving your dreams and to stay awesome along the way.
Hello, hello, awesome tribe, and welcome back to another episode of the Awaken the Awesome podcast. I am so excited to be back with you guys. Episode 209 of ATA Unplugged. This is the sophomore episode of our new series, as I told you and promised. Thank you so much for you guys for your resounding feedback for episode 207, which was the first pilot episode of ATA Unplugged, and bringing on my new co-host and awesome friend Phil, who's basically taking up co-host duties on this new adventure, this new series, as I told you before, where, you know, we're taking the lid off of, you know, the usual polished version of ATA. Like, as I told you, the interviews are still going to stick around, as we do have a very large catalog of esteemed and prestigious guests that are coming down the pipeline. But also, I wanted to, you know, respond to a lot of you guys who have been asking me just to be a little bit more open, a little bit more transparent, as I always try to be. But sometimes, you know, you guys just want a little bit more of what's behind the scenes and behind the curtains, and just gives me an excuse to actually have a little bit more of a laid back feel to the show. So it's been a really, 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 really fun experience to see how you guys are responding well to the episode. As always, I want to say this in the beginning of the episode, even though I'm going to say it at the end. Guys, keep giving us your feedback. It's always, always appreciated. As you guys may or may not have noticed, I've also included a link to the listener feedback form into the show notes of the episode. So once you click on the episode, wherever you get the podcast, I'm hoping the links are very, very well performing, because I'm trying to check it out on every platform, whether it's on Apple or Spotify or directly on Podbean. So you will find a link to the listener feedback form, and it's a simple Google form, and I don't ask for personal information unless you want to include it at the end. But I have compiled a little bit of general questions as to where the show currently stands in terms of your appreciation, your consideration, your overall feel. Are we staying consistent? Are we responding appropriately to what you expect from us over the past 7 years? So we always try to get better, you know, in terms of our growth, in terms of our performance. So it's always in the interest to make sure that, you know what, I am bringing you, we as a team and everyone working in front or behind the mic, you know, are bringing you exactly what you expect from us from ATA. So it's always, always, always fun to hear your feedback. So whether it's directly, as I keep saying it, directly via email, awakentheawesome@gmail.com, or as a rating, because as I keep telling you, the holy trinity of podcasting fuel, which is, first of all, leave a rating, leave a comment, share the episode. Leave a rating, leave a comment, share the episode. Those simple steps are so crucial to the podcasting field, because as you guys know, everyone and their grandmother and their chihuahua has a podcast now. So for us to stand out, we really need your help, guys. And it's not chump change when I tell you that, you know, we don't ask for subscriptions, there's no merch, there's no nothing. But if that one simple step, you know, in your heart, that you can find some time to actually just click, leave a rating, leave a comment, and share the episode if you find it useful or appropriate or in any way relevant to yourself or someone you know, that is so, 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 so much more appreciated. So here we go to our sophomore episode with Phil, an episode we recorded some time ago, but we do have a lot of fun ones coming up as well. We just want to dive into, you know, the money mindset. We were just talking, having a short exchange about, you know, how rich people think differently. So it was a really fun opportunity to actually have different perspective on how, you know, wealth mindset, you know, wealth actually starts, truly does start. Anything that involves upgrading your life, first of all, starts with how you think. So I don't want to bury the lead. Again, always want to thank you guys for, you know, being a part of this adventure. And here we go. So episode 209, AT Unplug with co-host Phil Saint. Here we go.
It's like I was telling my kid, my daughter, earlier this week, and this is like without being mean, but you know, sometimes when you have to look at your offspring, you're looking into their eyes and you're telling them like, you're lucky I love you, because it's like God brought you into my life as a gift and a celebration, and I celebrate this gift that God put into my life, into my world. But I swear to God, I could throw you out a window right now, but I can't because this is not a cartoon and I would be arrested. But
like the Simpsons.
but dude, sometimes you question parenting. It's like, you know, when your daughter gives you a tantrum like every single day, like I counted like from Monday to Sunday, like I've had a tantrum every single day. Okay. The latest one being like, okay, she wore a raincoat, let's say Tuesday, right? And then the next day, like, okay, just wear your coat because it's raining. Like, I don't want to wear it. Like, why? You wore it yesterday. It's like, I don't want to wear it. Why? Because it's yellow. It's like, please explain why you're not. And she's dead serious. Like, she's dead serious. Like, I'm not wearing it. It's like, you wore this coat yesterday. Yes, I know. But today I'm not wearing it. Why? Because it's yellow. What's the point with it being yellow? I look like a banana. I'm like,
I think seriously what happened, she probably someone told her that at school.
Probably. But she won't say it, you know.
Kids are mean, man.
Dude, kids are mean. I don't know. If that is what happened, she didn't tell me, but she just like, she was like full on beast mode. Like, I am not wearing this coat today. I'm like, I bet. But
she's not going to do it.
Dude. What I want to talk to you about tonight, man, is the fact that, you know what? We have got to stop, and I don't know how you feel about this, we have got to stop with this narrative of like, you know what, you don't need money, stop talking about money, what's all this talk about money and wealth and all that stuff. I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry, we come from a third world country where we realize that, you know what, money gives you options. Money, oh, yeah. I don't care how you feel about it. Yes, it does separate the haves and the have-nots, but we do live in a capitalist world and we grew up in a capitalist society. Until I know a different sense of making sense of the world, I'm only like just simplifying things as the way I see them. Yeah, it's a great way to know that. Yeah, sometimes it's unfair, but listen, we're not about how we would want the world to be, but we're about how the world is. I'm very pragmatic that way. And you know what? You need to understand that, you know what? Do the best you can where you are to make as much money as you can out of this one life that you have. Because there are some problems you don't want to have. Okay. Yes, we can speak so many ills about the fact that, people are so greedy. But I'm like, you know what? There are certain people, there are some problems you don't want to have. There are some problems that you don't even think about, you know? And sometimes, like, even for myself, here I am, like, in the house, I'm thinking about, we have a couple of renovations we need to do. And you're like, oh, okay, so the bathroom is going to cost this. And this thing is going to cost this. Repairing the house. And you're always tallying up bills. And I'm not saying, like, you know, it's all wonderful wonders and rosies, you know, if your last name is Walton of Walmart, right? But you know what?
I think, what, they're worth $14
billion? Dude, it's with a B.
Or more?
Yeah, with a B.
I think I saw an article the other day. It was like, golly.
And what it brought me down is the fact that, you know, something a lot of people say, and I'm not sure if you agree, rich people think differently. You know, rich people
think differently. You have to.
It's crazy, but it's true. And the reason that they're rich is because it's not just opportunity. It's not that they're smarter. Yes, they have resources. Yes, they have connections and all of these things. But if you boil it down, okay, and everybody aspires to wealth and everything, it always depends. And that made me laugh, and then why I want to talk to you about this. Les Brown said it in a really funny way. I never wanted to be rich. All I ever wanted was to be comfortable. But I realized eventually that to be comfortable, you got to be rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Harsh but true. I'm not sure how you feel about that. It's just stuff that makes me think, man. Stuff that makes me think. I don't know if we've been bred to just not talk about money in the way that we used to, but you and I grew up and we've seen the difference between the have and the have nots. And you know what? Sometimes you understand that, you know what? Having financial independence or being financially comfortable, there are certain things you don't have to worry about. And I don't know about you. There are certain things I don't want to have to worry about. I'm not sure how you feel about that.
I still think you're going to have worry. All depend. The type of worry you're going to have now is going to be completely different. because you remember what Biggie said, more money, more problems.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, people are going to come after you now, you know, to sue you, whatever have you. Family going to come out of the woodward, you know, wherever they come from, asking you for money, for help.
That is so true.
And stuff like that. It's just like you have rich people problem. You don't have poor problem. That's what it is now.
That's what it is.
You know,
that's what it is. That's what it is. And I think that, you know, if you don't learn to change the narrative, if that's what you want, all right, if that is what you want, if that is what you seek, I think you need to keep things in perspective. Like you said, you know, it's not because you've got more money in your pocket means that the problems are going to go away. You're just going to have a different set of problems. You're going to have a different set of problems. Is the fact that it's so funny because I was listening to a podcast episode with Ed Milet. If you haven't listened to it, it's really worth it. The Ed Milet Show. And he was saying that he was having the same conversation about wealth and, like, you know, we need to be more comfortable about speaking about, you know, if you're really wanting to have those conversations, those elevated conversations about wealth and mindset and all that stuff. He's like, it's not that rich people don't have regular people problems. Suppose you have an air conditioning problem in your home. Okay, a rich person, like, you have one air conditioning, I've got seven, but they still have got to be fixed. Okay. That's so I've got seven air conditionings to be fixed. They still be like, okay, your Toyota breaks down. Okay, sure, you have to get take a shop. My Bentley breaks down. I still have to take my Bentley to the shop, right? It's still a Bentley.
Oh, actually, so, they come pick it up.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Okay, you don't have to think about those things. But
they can pick it up for you.
It's funny, but if you don't keep those things into perspective, if you keep thinking into the mindset of wealth, if you read stuff like Napoleon Hill, if you read stuff like Jim Rohn, if you listen to Les Brown, you know, if you get into that, those conversations about abundance and stuff, you realize that there are two types of people, right? There are people who, and I love the way they put it, you have the scarcity mindset, people who think that, you know, anything is finite and I better hold on to it and grasp it, and because I might lose it someday. Or you have the abundance mindset. You know what? There's money to go around. There's food to go around. There are resources to go around. It's very philosophical, but it's all about in the way you perceive things. All right?
How about the selfish mindset?
The selfish mindset. That is true. I never looked at it that way. The selfish mindset.
Because people want to keep it to themselves. With money, and they just greedy. They don't do anything to help. Matter of fact, you know, they step on the neck of those very less fortunate, you know, and for them to stay rich. And they can be in a community where they can help, they can assist, but they rather not. They do very little because, hey, they're just selfish.
Do you believe, and this is really like a really big open question, do you believe money changes you or just money makes you more of what you are?
Oh, very good question.
That always bothers me. I don't know how to answer that.
I believe, yes, money does. I think it does both. You know what I'm saying? To me, I think if you let money become, let's call it your God, you know, you worship it and all that, yeah, it'll definitely bring the worst out of you. But I believe also having money, you know, because at the end of the day, you're going to start surrounding yourself with different set of people, you know, people like-minded, you know, in the business world, in the finance world. You're going to want to meet those people. And when you're around them, they're going to start speaking a language and you're going to start speaking that. You're going to, you know, pick some good habits. And next thing you know, that changes you. You know, it doesn't mean that it's going to change you for the worse, you know, but I believe that it can change you for the better, too. You know, because let's say you hang out with philanthropists, you know, and next thing you know, you never thought about, you know, helping a cause, a good cause. You found, now you go out there, you're like, you know what, let me go ahead and find a cause where I can assist in this area. You know, and just having that kind of money and surrounding yourself with certain group of people, of course, that changed your mind how you see the world now.
That helps. That helps because the statistics, and I'm not the only person coming up with that. Everybody, every time you hear about a lotto millionaire, you always hear about the fact that most of them statistically go broke like within 2 to 3 years. Because if you didn't know how to manage 40 bucks, I don't understand how you are going to be able to manage 40 million.
Yeah. Right?
That's often the case. So I believe, and I really piggyback on what you're saying, if you don't have the maturity to anchor yourself within your parameters of wealth, whatever it looks like for you, because understand that. Suppose, because I'm only taking my own example. I've been broke. Like, I've been broke, right? I've had to decide between, okay, school books or rent. Like, okay, ramen or mac and cheese. Like, what do we have? Like, I've done that. All right. So, dude, like, really, like, you go to the dollar store and 40 bucks and that's your shopping for the week. Like, I've done that. All right. And I say that because it gives me perspective. All right. If you don't learn, and I'm really saying this for the people who are like, okay, yeah, you know, the Ferrari would be nice. The vacations would be nice. Like, you know, the great vacations would be nice. What does wealth look like for you? All right. Don't just say money just because it's a fun word. But if you're going to be seeking whatever that elevated state of personal comfort looks like for you, right? Forget the term money. I'm just like, you know, in the terms of comfort, what comforts do you seek and what does that look like for you? Because you understand, you realize that a lot of people don't even know what that looks like for them, right? You like a lot of the conversations I have, and I'm sure if you do, you realize sometimes when you step into the realm and asking people, okay, with their dissatisfactions and stuff, and you ask them, okay, what does your comfortable life look like? Okay. What does your comfortable life look like? Most people can't answer that. All they see is rich people. They see Diddy. They see the videos. They see Richard Branson. They see the Tony Robbins. They see, like, you know, Dubai and all that stuff. But most people don't understand. Do you even want to go to Dubai? I don't know about you. I like to travel. And I guarantee you, and I say this with no hesitation, Dubai is not on my list. Like, in my bucket list of places to visit, I don't want to go to Dubai.
I want to go visit because after seeing pictures and how those
and I'm not throwing shade
and whatnot, like, yo,
I'm not throwing shade. I hear it's a fantastic place. It's futuristic. It's culture.
Exactly.
Everything.
I want to see it.
Like, it's got to be a place. But for me, like, for you, it's Dubai. For me, it would be someplace like either South Korea or Singapore. Singapore is like, for some reason,
Singapore,
it's like,
I mean, Singapore is rich.
Singapore is rich. What they've done with that little island.
Yeah, Singapore is
rich. Everything I read about Singapore is phenomenal. Like, that's futuristic to me, like forward living, like, okay, where society should be at.
Okay. All three countries, from Dubai to Singapore to, you know, South Korea.
And you got to know what that means like for you. For a lot of people, it's cars. For some people, it's stamp collecting. For some people, it's just like, okay, just sitting down, renovating my house, and just like building a garden in my backyard and good. Right. For some people, it's not even about them. It's about their grandchildren, because at the point where they are, they're good. All right. So you've got to know with what you have right now. OK, if I gave you 40 million, what would you do with it? Do you even need 40 million? What does your rich life look like? What is your number? Because trust me, right? You're a businessman. You know this. You got to be able to tally. You have to be able to count up the cost. What is this going to cost? What is our cost of operation? What does it cost to be you? Yeah. Your cost of operation, like, really, see your couple, see your house, see your business, see your kids, see everything. Like, don't just look at your bills, just look at them as your costs of operation. What does it cost to be you? All right. And suppose you add 1,000 to that, you add 2,000 to that, you add 10,000 to that. Are you okay with that? Or are you just greedy? See? greedy?
That is true. People, I mean, it's like the human being for the most part, we never satisfy. We always want more, you know. Like you said, some people have a number, you know, and some don't, because to them, you know, they just want to see how far they can reach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was reading an article online, and so pretty much what Elon Musk is buying Twitter for, like, 40 million.
Dude, 40 that billion. Made so many airwaves over the past 2 weeks. It's like, it's like a tech soap opera.
It's like, dude, why do you,
why are you spending 44 billion or 40 billion on why? You know, but it's just because he can, and he has a group of friends, you know, guys like that. They don't have, they forget sky the limit. The galaxy's the limit for them at this point. You know,
a lot of people, a lot of the analysts are saying, and I've read up on it just very superficially because I used to like dive into tech stuff right now, but now a lot of just like escapes me from what I've read, and it makes sense. A lot of people understand that one of the best ways to impart control, you have to control the medium, you have to control communication. Oh, yeah. And Twitter is one of the main pipelines of direct communication with the consumer. You know, politicians know this, corporations know this, brands know this. And as much of a, you know, underperforming medium as Twitter is, because over the years since its inception, a lot of people have never understood how Twitter makes money. Sometimes, no, Twitter was always a very big loss leader. Like, okay, you're a big deal, but you're not making money. But so one of the big motivators, even though, again, I'm very, just based off the articles that I've read, a lot of people are saying, like, just like, you know, I believe Bezos owns the Wall Street Journal now. Again, I may be paraphrasing, but a lot of magnates of finance or tech, or a lot of people like to control mediums of communication, media, whether it's newspapers, networks, you know, so it's just another way to control a communication pipeline. And because he uses it a lot. And if you want, again, to be on the pulse of what people are saying or thinking or sharing, Twitter is the best way, is the best port of entry for that. And like you said, he can, you know, because
I mean, I guess he's got the money, control the narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure that's his agenda, but it's a powerful way to do that. It is a powerful way to actually get that from the door and control how the medium is used. And even not being a power user of Twitter myself, I can definitely see how, you know, someone like Musk could actually, like, you know, shift the dynamic a bit and put the power back into the users. But he's a weird guy. He's a very weird guy, but he's a futurist. He's a futurist. When you listen to him talk, he's like, this guy's on another level.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't quite get him, but
he's already in the future.
He's already in the future.
He's already in the future. Like, yeah. I mean, he's a genius. I'm happy for him and everything.
He is.
But there's certain things that can also be scary.
Oh, I think he was talking. If you haven't seen his recording with Joe Rogan, it's definitely worth it. Or, you know, his talk at Davos when he's talking about the future of AI. That is a very sobering talk. And it always depends, again, with perspective, it always depends on what side of the aisle you're sitting on. If you're the kind of person who's very apocalyptic about the future, you're like, okay, Skynet is going to take over. Terminators are going to rule the world. And you know what? Human beings are going to be like, you know, the batteries of the Matrix. Fine. Well,
you never know.
It's a book that a lot of people should read. I believe, what's it called? By Yuval Noah Harari. 21 Rules for the 20. I think 21 Rules for the 21st Century. I think that's not it. I forget the name. I really forget the name, but we'll probably put it up in the show notes or something for the podcast. Anyway, it's a recent book about the future of AI and basically saying that right now, as we speak, even though I'm a big defender of academia and higher learning, I'm a very big defender of knowledge. And yeah, basically, you know, use your potential to actually get the training, get the classical training. I'm very much about that. But I understand that we're living in a new world. The generation that we grew up in is one of the most, I believe, unique in its evolution, because we have a foot in both the analog world. We understood what a tape recorder looks like, a VHS recorder is like, and we saw the advent of the digital world. We understood the impact. Like, we come from a world of wired phones. And we are now in the age where you and I can be from Florida to Canada, Quebec on a video call, a la Star Trek, with no lagging, no choppy voice, nothing. It's like, it's done, you know? We understood that. So we are poised. You gotta love the internet. If you have internet, like, dude, do you understand the fact that I can pick up my phone, just click call on WhatsApp, not have a calling card, not go to a to a international, like, you know, call station and call my mom in some village. Like, dude,
you,
I could just,
you know how much money I spent on calling cards back in the day?
Dude, that was killer. People have no idea what we're talking about.
$100 a month.
No idea what we're talking about. Man. And that's the thing. You would buy a $20 calling card, $50 calling card, and like, you have 2 minutes. Like, are you serious right now? I just picked up the phone. You have 1 minute. Like, okay, mom, love you. Bye.
Oh, like, man. Dude, I remember those days.
That was That was insane. Oh, there was a time I even remember, and this is very real. I remember this time where we were in Haiti. My sister went to school in Puerto Rico. All right. And this is before cell phones, man. This is before cell phones. And for some reason, my dad was a diplomat. So the government had hooked him up with a sat phone, a satellite phone. Mm-hmm. Dude, I have no idea how that thing worked. But dude, I remember we used to position that thing on the balcony towards the sky. And we actually called my sister at the dorm. So we called the dorm, and the dorm person had to go get my sister in her room, come to the reception to take the call. Like, dude, this was like, wasn't that long ago. Yeah. But this is Moore's law at work. And for people who don't know about Moore's law, is the fact that the potential of computer chips is going to double, you know, every year exponentially. So right now we are training for jobs, as Elon says. We are pricing for anybody going to school or taking training, whatever. This is irrefutable. You are basically training for jobs that will not exist by the time you finish.
I believe that.
You are training for jobs that will not exist by the time you finish.
I believe that.
So as simple as it is, you travel, I travel. Do you realize that right now we are the porters for bags at the airport? We are the ticket tellers, all right? You go, you mm-hmm. print your ticket, you tag your bag, you bring it up to the conveyor belt, you scan it, and you go. You've just replaced the job of four people just there. You have agents that come in and help you when the machine breaks down or something, but you're doing their job, right? Same thing for supermarkets, okay? Over here in Montreal and Quebec, dude, everybody goes to the self-checkout. Everybody goes to self-checkout, like cash.
I'm seeing more and more of those self-checkout in a lot of places.
Yeah, Costco, Walmart. My local Walmart has like maybe three regular cash registers, and they've got maybe 15 self-checkouts. So
doesn't Amazon has a grocery store where you can just
walk in and put everything
in a basket?
I've seen a few videos of it. I believe it's always in the metro areas like San Francisco or New York, you know, those very like, you know,
but niche, it's just a matter of time.
But I've not seen the concept here in Canada. I haven't seen it. I've seen a few YouTube videos where basically, you know, everything goes to your Amazon account. You just walk in, it scans your phone, and then you just put it in, put it out, and just you walk in and you walk out, and everything gets charged to your Amazon account.
Yeah.
But it's seamless. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is where we're going. I believe also in San Francisco, they are actually like, you know, I'm not sure if the project got canned, but right now they did have a test pilot where basically they've got drones delivering your stuff at your door.
No, they're still working on it.
Okay.
They're still working on it. Yeah. Yeah. They are doing tests right now. I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, out of Texas.
Okay.
Don't remember where, but they are doing tests right now, and Amazon is one of them. And they are running tests right now. So they want to be fully operational soon, very soon. So before you know it, they have a radius, they have certain things that the drone would deliver to you and everything. So yeah. This is where we're going.
And the thing is, you have that school of thought where people are saying, like, you know, this is irresponsible and we can't leave it up to the machines. But again, I'm very pragmatic. Talk it up to my father, who's an engineer, who taught me to look at things from a very pragmatic position, right? When you have a factor called the human being, okay, who gets tired, who gets irritable, who gets emotional, who does make mistakes, who can't retain all the information, and you have a factor for error. Right. Machines don't get tired. programs and algorithms don't take a day off, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you are optimizing the process. I get that. And I'm really talking in theory. I'm not talking about the ethics. I'm not talking about the philosophy. I'm talking about the theory and the application of efficiency, right? Everybody wants to be efficient. I get it. So it's not about replacing your job. It's about creating new opportunities for you to be trained in some other field, you know, like maintenance, you know, specialized maintenance of these machines. Like, okay, the robots are going to build the cars, but somebody still needs to maintain the robots. So you probably need to get better at, you know, robotics and engineering and stuff. And a lot of people saying like, well, you need a technical degree. Yeah, you probably should, which means that if the demand rises for these types of skills, so the training is going to become more commonplace. So it's all about rethinking the jobs that are going to be necessary in the future. I'm not sure how you feel about that.
I really don't know. I understand as society is evolving, you have to evolve with it.
Okay.
No problem sure. with that. I think you definitely, but are we cutting off certain, you know, maybe age group where going back to school may not be an option for them? So now, you know,
right.
Let's say we have a group of people, hey, you know, they're looking at a retirement in 10 years. Now we just cut them by the knee. So now, instead of 10 years, they got to go right. ahead and be out of a job because,
right.
they have, like you said, they have to go back to school and everything. And now what happens with going back to school? So is the job's going to pay for it? Or do you have to pay for it yourself in order to look for jobs where, you know, recuperate that money you spend on school and things like that? So I see both sides of the coins. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. To me, I feel like it's a double-edged sword. You know,
that's true.
And it's very difficult. You know, you want a society that is efficient and effective, you know, but at the same time, you got to remember the human aspect, this, you know, that comes with it. You know,
you can't set aside the philosophy of the thing. That's true. See, that's the human factor.
Yeah, like, yeah.
What happens to the human
being? Am I eliminating a set of group of people with their age, ethnicity, and all the above, whatever have you? You know, so what happened with those group of people?
There you go.
I think it's very delicate.
It's a huge moral dilemma, and it's a slope that we're already on, and that's accelerating, because guess what? More demands. I'm sorry, guys. There's a bigger demand, and people want more technology, more innovation, more resources, more fun, more apps. That's mm-hmm. where we're going. And that comes at a price. So, you know, there is a price to pay for like 2-day delivery or next day delivery or same day delivery. That supply chain has to be optimized somehow. So are we like just saying that, you know what, to hell with the consequences. I just want the convenience, but convenience does have a cost. And what that looks like with this future of AI and technology and optimization, I don't know. It's both exciting on a curiosity standpoint and scary on a moral standpoint, because as you said, some people will be left in the dust. You know, it's evolution in its most basic concept. Some people will not survive, some people will not be around, and you're talking about people who are at a disadvantage, because I see this all the time, because I observe a lot of what's going on around me. And sometimes I go to McDonald's or I go to Tim Hortons just to grab a coffee, and you see a 60 plus person working the cash. And you ask yourself, are you doing this just to, you know, just for entertainment? Because, you know, some people just need to get out the house. Or are you really trying to make ends meet post 60?
Yeah.
The person is clearly an elderly, like, and I mean this very, very respectfully, because I know people are going to say, like, what's wrong with old people? It's not ageism, guys, but sometimes you ask yourself, like,
what happened
there? It's like, really, post-retirement and you're working at McDonald's? Like, what's going on there? Again, I don't know your story, but I'm only assuming.
I mean, I have a quick story, because when I graduated from university, my first real job was working at Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the gentlemen that I work with, it was right after when the market crashed.
Oh,
you know, okay. The housing market crashed really bad. So he was doing really good, you know, before the housing market crashed. He was doing good. He had businesses. Boom, stock market crashed. So he lost a ton of money. So he had to, he was at least 65 or even a bit older, but let's say older, but let's say 65. He came back to work. He was telling his story. This is what happened, you know. He's living off of his saving and is getting smaller and smaller. So he decided to, you know, find something to do, because if not, he won't be able to pay his rent, put food on the table and whatever have you. So, I mean, it is scary. It is a good question. Hey, what happened? Because at the end of the day, you want to learn, because some people, hey, mm-hmm. they made a mistake, miscalculation, money gone. Some is just, hey, like you said, they don't want to be home and rather be surrounded with people and instead of being home.
That's true. That's true. You never know the story, and you should never judge. You should never judge.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
always
yeah.
remember that, you know what? Things, you don't know somebody else's circumstance, and just knock on wood, just do what you can where you are with what you have, man.
I agree.
What else did I have on my mind? Hey, but I really want to throw this is very random, but I really, this comes from a personal place. I really want to encourage and talk to the people here on like who are in committed relationships, like, you know, you like, you know, long term, you're serious, and like, you know, when you care about the person next to you, not just like, you know, some flurry frenzy whatsoever. What happened is, like, was my wife's birthday a couple of days ago. And I don't know, for the first time since the pandemic, right? Because, you know, you're stuck at home with your kids and life starts over and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just had like an inkling, like, you know what? F it. She was like on a business trip for like 3 days. She was at a trade fair for her job. Super tired, super stressed, like meeting clients, like making deals and stuff. So obviously she's like all matters of like stressed out. So just looking forward to coming home. She's done. Yes, she was coming back like on Friday, I believe. And I was like, I don't know, just on the Friday. Yeah, I'll see you later. It's like she was on the road. I'll see you later. And I don't know. I was like, you know what? Let me take you out. When I mean take you out, I decided, like, you know what? We're going downtown. She just crossed the door. And I'm like, yeah, hug the kids tonight. And tomorrow the kids are going to go to your parents because you and I are going out of town. So why I say that is because for me, at least, it was fun to take a second and put the world on pause for like 2 seconds. And I believe that in this whole craziness that we've been going through for the past two and a half years, a lot of people have lost themselves because they have not made their couple a priority. I don't know how you feel about that, because we've seen the statistics. We've seen people like decide that, okay, the pandemic was the trigger for them to just walk away from their marriage, from their relationships, from their job. Okay, if it's a better chapter for you, fine. But I do remain critical of people who decided to use the pandemic as an excuse, all right, to not double down on the efforts that they should put in into their couple. Again, I might sound preachy, I might sound condescending, but that's me. I've become kind of a hard ass as of late, so do with me as you will. But for me, it was a real reset to just realize that how simple it is to actually just take 2 seconds and make the necessary decisions to connect with your significant other, whether it's your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatsoever. But if you care enough about your relationship to put in 2 cents, listen, it doesn't take like a fortune. Well, okay, you can't go out of town. Go to Subway or something, you know?
Yeah.
Go take a walk. I get it. Wife, 2 kids, mortgage, full-time job. I have all the excuses possible. You might have a support system or not. Pay a friend.
But
like, yo, it's like there are ways, but don't negate the fact that relationships take work. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know what? You should not take that person sitting next to you for granted. And there's always something you can do.
you know, to remind yourself that, you know what, this is worth it and you should put in the time. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No. I mean, you hit the nail in the head. I think if I'm going to add something to this is you got to work it for it to work. If you know, you gotta be dedicated to it. You gotta take time. It takes practice. It takes patience. It takes understanding. Because if you can be focused on something that you enjoy, a video game or a love for, I don't know, some type of art, you do all that. You stay focused. You study it. You know, the subject matter and whatever have you, and you dedicate, you work it. So it's the same thing that the way I see with relationship, being with someone. You know, you got to put in the work, period. You got to put in the work to see the results that you would like to see. And if, but then again, it takes two to tango. So let's say that too. But sure. if both parties are not putting in the work, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So it's easy to say, you know what, I don't need to deal with you. Let's sign the papers. But the thing is, people don't understand is the next person is probably going to be the same thing.
There you go.
Because the same thing, man.
So, you might want to put the spotlight on the other person. But if you're not willing to own up to what you bring to the table, and I've learned this over time, that you're always an asshole to someone. Okay? You're always an asshole to someone. So maybe they don't tell you, maybe they don't walk up to you and say it, but you're always an asshole to someone. So trust me, that person who lives and breathes and ride or dies next to you, take 2 seconds and take ownership to what you bring to the table. And as you said, relationships take work. We are not perfect. There will be mistakes. There will be faux pas and there will be hurt. And you have to be willing to take that chance. What does that mean to you? And a lot of people, unfortunately, I believe, and I'm only taking the pandemic as an example. And for me, it did make me sad to see how many couples and how many men, how many women ended up suffering because of that. Because I believe that when you realize being stuck with your significant other has become a chore, like, I get it. You need your personal time. You need your breather. Like, okay, we get it. Like, you know, I'm a man. I get this. Like, you know, but still, when you realize that this person that you're committed to has become like more of a burden to you, dude, like, do you know how hard it is to actually go through this thing called life alone? And now you have to come to the fact to yourself, like, okay, I'm not happy with this person. For me, it was a very big revelation. And why I brought it back to my wife's birthday is the fact that, you know, how simple it was for me to just decide, like, you know what? Hey, you know what? I care about this person enough to actually take some time out of time. And we're not talking a long time, barely 12 hours, barely 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, we left Montreal, we went down to Vermont, had a really fun time, did some sightseeing, went to see the Ben & Jerry's factory. You know, nothing basic. There was no plan. And you know what? That made it so special because it's something we used to do when we were dating. Like, either rent a car, go up to Ottawa, drive for a couple of hours, and then come back and just joke about it. Oh, this is what we saw. Like, what can you do in 24 hours? What can we do within a 100-kilometer radius and just do that? And you know what? Yes, there will be kids. Yes, there will be careers. Yes, there will be failures. There will be health issues. There will be stuff that permeates the couple. These are the chapters of your relationship. But if you make that the excuse why, you know, things are not working, well, talk about the deeper issues. Talk about the deeper issues. If we're dealing with deeper issues, what are they? Have the audacity to talk about them. You know, go out for coffee. Sometimes, and I'm really open about it, sometimes home is the worst place to be. Sometimes you don't want to be home. All right. Okay. Like I said, go to Subway. Go have some ice cream. Go take a walk. I'm saying this because, hey, I've been broke. All right. Because I know people here saying, like, yeah, because you can afford to drive down to Vermont. Okay, fine. Go to Subway. Right. Okay. $5 foot long. Like, dude, it's not supposed to cost you money.
It doesn't take much to make a simple effort, because, you know, a walk around the park, That's it. You know, you start simple, and next thing you know, you do better. You know, but you have to, like we've been saying right now for the past 5 minutes, is you got to put in the work.
You got to be dedicated.
You got to be committed.
And put down your phone. Put down your freaking phone. Dude, phones are destroying relationships. I swear. So, are you listening? Yeah, I got you. What did I say? Yeah, I got you.
It's getting worse and worse. I don't think it's phone. I think it's social media.
Dude, there you go.
You know, when you get hooked on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, I kid you not, I was at a restaurant with Liz, and there was a group of young girls, let's say mid-20s, and they were not talking to each other. They were all on their phones, you know, probably in their Snapchat or whatever, taking selfies. They were not having a conversation. You know, I'll be damned if I'm out with friends and we at the dinner table, we having fun or drinking and all that. And instead of us talking, we are on a phone. Like you know, let me post this on the gram real quick or on Snapchat. Like, seriously? No. Just
picture this right quick. You got me out of my house. I got in my car to meet you at this location where I'm going to pay somebody else to make food or serve me drinks for me to look at you, stare at your phone.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
I've seen it multiple times.
Just based on a decency level, like where have our manners gone? Like, do you realize that I'm here? I am looking at you. All right. And the fact that we've normalized this offends me at some point, because I, like you said, great, you got your social media, but like, yo, you will miss the opportunity, because guess what, we are together, we are at this moment right now. Not everything needs to be posted to the gram, not everything needs to be memorized to your phone. If you don't have a picture, it still happened, you know that, right? Even if have a picture, it still happened. I swear. But people, and we are all a work in progress. For some people, it's worse than others. And this generation is going to have a lot to deal with in terms of their social skills, because some of them really genuinely believe that a follower equals a friend. No, seriously. When these platforms die, when Instagram goes down, or when Facebook goes down, for some reason, the world goes ballistic.
Hold on. Correct me if I'm wrong. Instagram was thinking about removing the like button, or removed it for one day or something like that. And
yeah, it was a social experiment. People
went ballistic.
People went ballistic. Like, how, why is this happening? Where is it? What happened? Because a lot of people were saying that the only reason, like, this entire social, the matter of social clout, okay, removing the number of followers or removing the number of likes on a post, does that make you better? Because then, if you don't have that social factor, like, the algorithm doesn't know what to do with it, and that way you're less popular. But no, people need to know that 10,000 people saw me eat ice cream. Like, okay. Now, it's not even about decency anymore. Like, authenticity is dead. Now it's all about feeding the algorithm. And it's troublesome, because I'll send you a video about if you don't follow Vice News on YouTube, you definitely should, because
I saw
this great expose they did about, I think the title was, these kids are forgoing higher education to become TikTok famous. And
yeah,
dude, like, we're talking 17, 18 year olds, and who are gathered up in some kind of think tank in LA, and all they do all day is make TikTok videos.
Yeah,
all they do. I'm like,
to them is, how long is it gonna last?
There you go. Oh, I'm in real estate.
And everything you need, sustainability. How long is it gonna last? It's not.
But they're telling yourself, they're setting themselves up for generational wealth, because they're gonna make as much bank as they want right now, so they don't have to worry about it later.
And they're gonna blow it as fast.
Really though?
Fast.
If they do, I'm happy for them. But, and I say this in all honesty, I don't judge them.
I wonder where their parents are. If this is a new reality, if this is the new social economy, I am severely worried for my daughter and my son. Because I understand that, you know, as the youth are, because youth in itself, adolescence is the age of influenceability and to be able to make your own decisions. But if these are going to be the parameters that you have to decide who you are, I need to double down on helping you have the maturity to make the right choices. And that scares me as a parent. So I really didn't know what to do with that. It was, for me, it was really scary. It wasn't funny. For me, it really wasn't funny. It was just scary to know that they exist. And this is what constitutes entertainment right now for the youth. It's crazy.
I think, you know, from our background coming from a culture where education is top priority, you know, manners and being respectable and your society and to your elders and all that. So now we're seeing those things are dissipating, you know. And for example, I was at a restaurant and it was me, the girls, and Liz. And there was a group of high schoolers behind us, and they were talking loud, whatever. And the conversation was turned out to be about drugs and sex. And
nice.
I kind of locked eyes with one of them. It's like, yo, what are you? You see, there's kids around. Like,
but
what is this?
This is the thing.
You know. I mean, I know you're in a public space, you want to talk, but I have some respect, have some type of manners or something.
But that's the thing.
You know, you can wait to have that conversation outside the way you want to have it. Like, come on.
The barriers of decency and the parameters of, you know, civility and empathy and minding your surroundings have been either blurred or totally eliminated. This is a different world where it's okay to just, something I never do, but it happens from time to time. Just look at morning radio. Just look at morning radio. Like the stuff they talk about, like I don't do that. And for some reason, like over the course of like last week, I don't know, I was looking for a station or something. And for like let me take 2 minutes. Like, you know, it's just one of those regular, like, you know, morning drive videos. Hey, okay, Iggy Azalea, like, you know, fine, like, you know, coming up next, we're gonna play some, I don't know, some Cardi B and stuff. And the stuff that they talk about at 7 a.m. in the morning while my kid's in the car, I dare not speak. Like, you know, we're talking about, like, yeah, like, you know, 12 ways to please your man. Like, you know, what, okay, caller number 9. What's the best, what's the freakiest place that you, like, this is morning radio. This is morning radio. And now if you go to TikTok, where there absolutely is no, like they say there's catering and they say there's monitoring, but there's not. All right.
It's a lie.
There's not. There's not. It's
a lie.
If all I know, all I have to do is, like, you know, just wear some skimpy clothing, put on some nice makeup, put on a filter or two, and then poop, 4.2 million followers or like 2.8 million views on this one video.
And you make money.
And you make money because, hey, brands see you're influential.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not even surprised about the conversations being had in public amongst young people, because for them, you know, they are desensitized. They don't care like we used to, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have conversations with my older sister, who's 2 years older than me, and we have conversations about the fact of how we would be scared to death, you know, the first time we listened to gangster rap. You know, when Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg just came out, right? We used to watch videos on MTV, right? Where they were censored, you know, and you used to see, like, you know, ladies had really like Daisy Dukes, but then they would blur out the butt, right?
Yeah. And
you couldn't even show a 40 ounce on a video. You couldn't show a 40 ounce. You had to blur it, all right? But now.
Oh, yeah. Product placement everywhere.
And I was talking to my sister. I'm like, Joan, do you remember when songs like Bombastic used to be considered like like filth? Or like Patras Romantica was like
that was salacious and erotic. They're like, Madonna was like, you could not watch Madonna. But like, nah, but now, okay? There are people like Nicki Minaj.
Like, dude, Megan Thee Stallion.
I saw this video with Nicki Minaj and what's his name? I think his name is Tekashi. No, is it Tekashi 69? Tekashi, I think so.
69.
Dude, first of all, it's a psychedelic flurry of like, please do not watch this video if you're high. Like, because there's so much color in your face. And again, another comparison. I know I sound like an old folk, but bear with me. First of all, videos used to be about 3.5 minutes to 4 minutes, right? It was an actual song. But for me, this is a popcorn.
It's hard now.
Dude, it's 2.5 minutes and it's nothing. It's between Nicki wearing like skimpy clothing and there's like Skittles everywhere. There's rainbows. She's in a hot tub and twerking and he's screaming everywhere and he's throwing candy and he's like in a rainbow hall. Dude, it's like, I can't take this. And I'm looking at the view count, 300 million views. Like what has the world gone to? But this is entertainment. These are the people that we go to concerts to see, right? This is what we do. And again, you know what? I am open-minded enough to say, like, okay, if that's the way you're going to make your paper, you want to make that bag, get the bag. Like, get the bag. Like, if this is what you do, if people are paying you for, like, go ahead. Like, you know what? That's not me. That's not how I would do it. And that is fine. All I have to know is that I have to protect these minions and tell them, like, you know what? That is not what I expect from you. And hopefully you make better choices.
It's not the reality.
And that's the thing. They're characters. But again, this is the influence that they have. And again, I'm trying to remain respectful. I don't know the individuals. I've seen a couple of interviews of Nicki Minaj. She seems like a good person. But that's as far as I can go, right? At some point.
I mean, sometimes I'm just too tired. I think that's what we were talking about in the beginning of our conversation, is the fact that you reach a level of fame and you're making money. You know, who do you surround yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're surrounding yourself with the same people. Where are they helping you to be better? Or are they just, you know, continuing the bad habits that you had before making those millions and millions?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a continuation of bad decision, bad habits. And therefore, it doesn't matter. You know, you surround yourself with people that everything you do, they agree. Everything, you know, it's yes. So you're not growing.
Nope.
So, yeah, you have money and all that, but you're not growing.
What are you doing with it?
Yeah. Or, you know, you surround yourself with people that challenge you, make you better. Of course, you're going to be better. Of course, you're going to start thinking different. Of course, you're going to be like, okay, let's talk real estate. Let's talk different type of business, or how are we gonna go ahead and give back to the community? I see a need here.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? Who do we need to talk to?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. But a lot of time, I like to use that word, some people, they reach a level of fame, they get lost in the sauce.
Mm.
You know, and they completely lose themselves. And so, you know, they don't care. You can't tell them nothing because they have so much money. Now I have connection. If I need to talk to so-and-so, I have them on speed dial. It's like, all right, whatever. You know, you get lost.
You can't.
It's sad. To me, it's like pretty much it's sad.
And, you know, I think there's a great talk that I watched with Pastor T.D. Jakes, and it really rounded it out for me. Every time I have these like ambitions of like, okay, be careful, you know, like you said, don't make money your master. Money is a tool, but don't make it your master. Money is a very, very wonderful tool, but it's a very, very poor master. So he said, like, glorify the 40. And what he meant by that is something that really, for me, resonated, because if you've maximized the potential of having 40 bucks in your pocket, and you've basically maximized it, not squandered it, really put in the full potential of the $40 in your pocket, the universe, whether you're a believer or not, whether it's God, whether it's whatever, the universe will see that, oh, okay, it can trust you with $40. Let's see what it can do with what you can do with 60, what you're going to do with 100. Because what we're trying to say is keep people humble, keep people grounded, keep people aware of the potential that they have in their hands, and not just with money, whether it's your voice, your talent, your gift, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Be able, ready and willing to maximize every opportunity that you have. Because if you can't maximize $40, I'm not going to give you 40 million. Because the same mistakes you make with 40 are going to be the same mistakes you're going to make on a bigger scale with 40 million. Yeah. And those are problems you don't want.
That's true.
So keep yourself in check. Keep yourself in check, man.
And I think one thing before we leave that, mm-hmm. I think people ought to do now is do a self-evaluation.
Yeah.
You know, sit down with yourself and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think about it, you know, if you have an Apple, you have an Android, you know, you every now and then you get an update,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like, you know, your car needs an oil change. You bring it. Your car needs this. You bring it to the mechanic. You know, it's like, yo, you have to sit down with yourself and be like, OK, I need to do a self-evaluation and see how I'm truly doing.
People are no different. You're right.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't want to see the ugly, but you got to see the ugly for it to be better, for it not to be ugly or less ugly and whatever have you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be honest and do a self-evaluation. Okay, you know what? I can be better in this area. Okay, I see in this area I still got work to do. All right, what do I need to do there and stuff like that? Maybe I need to stop hanging out with those kind of crowd because when I do, this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we all know there's always maybe one person or a group where we hang out with them. Eventually, always. we do some dumb stuff.
Always.
You know, it's always. Like, oh man, you know, and you got to take the time to do a self-evaluation and see what's going on and to grow. But then again, there are some, they don't want to grow. They're scared to grow. It's scared of the unknown. I mean, it's good to be scared of the unknown. That means, hey, you want to see what's there, you know, what's there waiting for you, what you can do and everything. And yeah, I think people should do more of that. And
self-assessment. What's a practical way? Since we always want to lead them with a practical way, what's the best? So you say, like, pick up a phone, pick up a notebook or the phone and just start writing down. How should we go about that?
Pick up a notebook and start writing stuff. Keep tabs of what's been going on in your life. Because for some people, you know, you can be, in a way, the architect, you know, how you want certain things to happen, you know? So how you would like to see certain changes. So therefore, start writing it down. And from there, when you do your self-assessment, you can say, okay, did I hit the mark or did I miss it? What can I do better, you know, to hit the mark next time? This is where, you know, let me take a look at this. Let me remove this and add this and see what happens. I mean, at the end of the day, I think the rule number one is you have to be willing to be honest with yourself. You know, that is so hard.
I already hear a lot of people who already clicked off because, like, you know, no, that's too much. You're asking me for way too much here. Like, work? What? Goals? Right. Like, really? Like,
that's how it is. I mean, you, as we're speaking, you don't put in the work, it's not going to happen. You know,
it's not going
to
happen.
It's like, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. And she was like, man, this is the age I am right now. And I thought, like, I would have patience and maturity and all that. I'm like, it doesn't work like that. You know, it's not like, okay, you know what? I'll reach 40. Patience and maturity, please download. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want wisdom, if you want patience, you got to walk to it. It's not going to come. You know, it will meet you at one point, you know. You have a point of contact. You're like, oh, you know what? So this is what patient or wisdom is, because I remember if it was a year back, I would have reacted differently,
mm-hmm.
you know? But now look at me being patient and not saying anything, you know, and just letting it go.
One thing that I read and I shared, I think I shared in a couple of posts on social media, but I really love how it was worded. The universe is not, if patience is what you need, I'm probably paraphrasing, if patience is what you need, the universe is not going to magically give you patience. But it will, however, provide necessary circumstances where you have no other choice but to be patient.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to accept that, it's going to be hard for you.
Oh, yeah. I think I learned being patient in Haiti.
Really?
Believe it or not, because my dentist was, he was all the way outside of Capitol in the Leogan area.
Mm-hmm.
But he was American. He would come down, mm-hmm. you know, help, you know, the people in the community. So he also had clinic. So if you have the means, you can go see him.
Okay.
Man, I would go there. I don't know, let's say your appointment's at 3, right? You show up at 3.
Okay.
He is so busy, he won't see you till maybe 2 or 3 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are in the middle of nowhere, right? Internet didn't exist back then. You know, it's not like I can grab my phone and be like, oh, you know, let me go on YouTube. No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pretty much had your books. You did your homework, study, mm-hmm. or just walk around the community. That's it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I learned patience, because it was like, come on, let's do this. But I learned, I don't know, I every time, because I saw him for a good about 2-3 years, and every time I would go there, it was always the same thing. So pretty much, you know, I my brain got wired in the sense, okay, you know, you're gonna go there, this is what's gonna happen. And I took that mentality and mm-hmm. applied it in different areas of my life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it worked. I mean, it wasn't easy. I got to tell people that it was not easy.
No, it's not easy.
It's not easy, but I understood that at the end of the day, I understood that I have a choice to make. I can sit here and still be mad and complain about it, or okay, is there another door I can open and see what's behind that door?
A lot of people won't understand that, because for them, it's a lot easier to just blow a gasket and just show discontent and frustration. But you put in a good word there. It's like, you know what? What can you do? What is the mentality you're going to bring? What is the mindset you're going to bring? And ask yourself the right questions. What is another reaction other than impatience that I can bring in? Because lo and behold, I'm still going to wait. I'm still going to wait. He's not going to say, oh, Phil's here. Let me stop what I'm doing.
Exactly. Like,
let me stop what I'm doing. Let me kick this guy. Let me kick this patient out and see Phil. That happened to me today. I went to see a chiropractor. I'm a new patient anyway. But he gave me an appointment. It was like at 1:15. But lo and behold, I walk in, he's still with a previous patient. I'm the son of a doctor from Haiti. I know how this works, right? So I'm not going to be like, you know, fronting or anything. I'm like, you know what? I brought a book. I brought a notepad. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Here I am just taking notes. Hey, I'm here. He can't not see me.
Yeah.
So I got the time. And you know what? Let me just use this opportunity just to catch up on a book, which I did. You know what? Life is an adventure. Don't make it more annoying than it already is. All right. So enjoy, and as tough as it is, because it's not always fun, but these little moments of clarity are important, and people need to take it. I really appreciate the fact that you brought that up, because people need to take a little bit more ownership of where their life is, or where it is headed, because where it's been, it's already done. We can't do anything about that.
Oh yeah.
But we can some way, somehow take ownership of where we are. Take the assessment. Guys, take notes. Yeah. Phil said, take the assessment. Take 2 seconds to write down Like we said in the beginning, like you said, what does your rich life look like? What does your best life look like? What does tomorrow look like for you? And I really mean this. Like me growing up, I'm taking this as a very personal example. Me growing up when I was broke, I told myself, like, growing up, I would like to have a basement where I could actually just go down and get lost in my movies. So growing up, I bought a lot of DVDs. That is my one little guilty pleasure. I still buy DVDs because sometimes I like to come down to my basement because guess what? There's some movies I cannot find on Netflix and I will not find on Netflix because the algorithm doesn't want me to find them on Netflix. So, okay. No, Phil, if you can tell me, okay, I challenge you and anyone listening to this, if you can tell me a streaming service where I can find Le Grand Bleu, okay, what's because that? I want to see Le Grand Bleu, all right? All right? If you can find that for me, I'll definitely get on that platform. But until then, I will just
what movie is that, though?
Dude, it's a classic. It's a French classic. Do you know the actor called Jean Reno?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's one of Jean Reno's earliest movies because I was raised on French movies, as you know, Louis de Funès, Fantomas, you know, Jean-Paul Belmondo. I know we're going off topic, but anyway, this is our podcast. I don't care. So Le Grand Bleu basically is a movie with Jean Reno. This is where I discovered him and Jean-Marc Barr. And the story is a story about friendship. It's a story about competition. It's a story about passion. Basically, the two guys are professional. What I know there's a technical term for it, but deep sea divers. But they hold their breath. And I forget the term. It's not deep sea diving. There's a term for it. The competition diving. Anyway, they just take one big breath and they dive as deep as they can. So how far can you go holding on one breath? So the entire movie is based around that. But you would think that it's just about competition. It's not about it. It's about competition. It's about growing up together. It's about them being the best of friends, but also the greatest of rivals. It's about love. It's about passion. It's about losing yourself in somewhat sacrificing something that you love. Like one of them gets into a relationship. But you know what it's like, you know, the method to the mat. When you're in love with someone who's deeply ingrained into their passion that you just don't get it. Like you do. But you don't because your relationship suffers because of it. But you love them so much that you don't want to get in the middle of that. So it's all of that in one freaking movie. And I love it. Like I saw it years ago and I've never seen it since. And I have to get it on Amazon. But I love it. I love it. But this is the kind of movie that Netflix is going to say, like, well, Olivier is just one person of a 3 billion subscribers. Like, why would we put that? Because the algorithm doesn't want me. All right. And I'm totally fine with that. So I totally digressed. But this is just to tell people, listen, if you have a vision for yourself, you need to know what matters to you. For me, it's movies, you know.
Yeah.
For anyone else, it's cars. For someone else, you know, for my kids, it's drawing and movie. But you know what? Maybe your rich life is not that far off. It's not a lottery ticket away. You know, you need to, as you said, put in the work. But the work starts with having the vision and giving yourself direction. Otherwise, you're just shooting, wasting oxygen into the universe. I think
I guess I got to give what would mine be, being that you're, I think, tell you the truth, mine, I tell Liz all the time, give me a state-of-the-art kitchen. I enjoy cooking. Dude, like I want a state-of-the-art kitchen, like with all the knives, the
top that's of my wife.
Pans.
That's my wife.
A pantry with everything in it, like a Sub-Zero fridge, like with whatever meat I want or fish, whatever have you.
Give me
that
fully furnished pantry.
Give me like that. All like, of it. That's all I want. Like to be able to hang out with loved ones and yo, let's cook and talk.
Let's make a meal.
Let's listen to music. Let's cook. You know, have the wine cellar. That's all I want. I'm good.
And to do that, at least you have a clear vision. For me, it was just being in the comfort of my own home and those moments of leisure and entertainment, you know, just give myself that. Like me, like, you know, I got my movies and I got my little basement. Could it be better, more modern? Sure. Down the road, right? But I really love your vision. You see it. You see the hominess. You see the welcoming, and you see all this around the concept of, you know, creating this great environment around food, which is the universal gathering of any culture from here to Timbuktu, right? Exactly. Everybody understands a good meal. Everybody understands a good meal. There's no redefining a good meal. And I really applaud you for that. And I want that for you. And we will make this happen. I declare it.
I declare it into the universe.
I'll dig it.
Declare it into the universe. Another fun conversation, man. Like, this is dope. This is dope. This fills me with great energy. This really does.
Get better and better.
This really does. Until we find a name for this freaking podcast, episode 2 is in the can.
But, so we're going to put down where people can listen to it. And
yes, definitely. Definitely. It's going to be on everywhere. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be on the Apples and the Google Podcasts and Spotify and SoundCloud. It's going to be everywhere. Once it's, you know, all ironed out and official, episode 1 is still in production. So I'm almost done with it. But it's going to be everywhere. The way I have it set up, it's not even like going to be complicated. Just all we're going to have until we have a name for it. It's still going to be on the Awaken the Awesome feed. And then until when we have the title, we'll probably switch it up and try to find a different way to give it its own life. But for now, it's just going to be on the ATA feed, and we'll just like keep publishing it, you know, just to make it easy for everybody not to have to look for it. But yes, it's going to be everywhere that you get your podcasts. And of course, like, you know, we're probably going to have a separate YouTube channel, going to take the video and put it there if the people want to see it. I don't know. We're trying stuff as we go. This is entrepreneurship. Just try shit out, whatever.
You have to try it, make it happen. Sometimes you just go for it and start walking. Like we said in our first episode, sometimes you got to start walking.
Just do stuff.
You don't need a map. You don't need navigation. Just make it happen. Yeah.
Guys, we are eternally grateful for you tolerating our rantings and musings and BS, but it's support like yours that keeps this fuel going, Phil. Yes, I really appreciate these. Really, I'm not sure if you want to have parting words for the listeners.
Stay safe. Stay humble.
This is true. This is true.
And anywhere you can, like Maya Angelou would say, be a rainbow to someone's cloud.
Guys, as always, you know, thanks so much for tuning in. We will see you at the next recording. All right? You guys stay safe. All right. Talk to you soon.
This has been another episode of the Awaken the Awesome podcast. We always love to get your feedback, so please do drop us a line via Instagram, Facebook, or email. Our email address, awakentheawesome@gmail.com. Do visit our official website at awakentheawesome.ca, where you can find our entire back catalog of episodes and incredible guests. Also, if you haven't already, please hop on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, give us a rating, and leave us a review, as this helps us tremendously in growing this podcast and spreading the word to more awesome listeners like you. We always appreciate your support, and thank you for listening. Stay awesome.